This is the feedback from group number one on buildings.
Hello. So in areas of action, we covered efficiency, sorting out the existing and decaying housing stock. It was noted that we have some of the oldest housing stock in the country in Wales, lots of pre-1919 homes. We discussed breaking the silos between the developer and the maintenance of buildings, assessing whole life costing with a view to being more flexible in how buildings are used. Sourcing materials in a global market and the carbon cost of those. Getting consumers involved in any developments you have. More transparency in who pays in the end for renewable energy installations. Tapping into financing options and different streams of finance. The partners we highlighted were the housing associations, who control a large amount of the housing stock in Wales. Talking to Western Power Distribution, helping them take the step forward, and do they need more resources and more support? Industrial processes, large-scale use of energy, and balancing that against domestic use. Who should do that? Is that the grid's responsibility, or is it industry's responsibility? Barriers, we covered the barriers around solar energy and installing it on domestic roofs, and how, you know, lots of the buildings are already built and their roof direction is already fixed, not necessarily south-facing. Reduction in funding for PV and leasing roofs can be difficult. Our opportunities focused around efficiency, first of all. Changes in the tax regime, changing stamp duty on houses with renewable energy help or council tax. Is it better for homes to produce heat energy rather than electricity from their solar energy? And flexibility in design and looking at a house overall when you're building it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks very much. We go to a very small but beautifully formed group over here. Thank you very much, Paul.
Wind and marine energy. Started off talking about the strategic requirement or the joined up strategic thinking from government level, part of the difficulty of having sort of devolved powers to a certain extent and then the strategic focus from Westminster. Inevitably, most of the conversation kind of based around the tidal lagoon and what we saw as some of the potential barriers or obstacles or some of the issues which were impacting. One of the things we thought of then in terms of positive areas that we could work on was looking at who we are leveraging. If we see Tidal Lagoon as a necessary project and an important one to develop, then how can we use our time and energy to be leveraging the right people to be persuading? So looking at people in government like Claire Perry and Alan Cairns and getting the message across about a broader perspective, not just on the initial project, but the potential value and the growth. One of the things that we were talking about, and then slightly beyond that then, was actually identifying what we mean by value. So if we're looking at the value of projects, how are we defining the way that value is understood and measured in order then to think about the priorities of the way in which you go about assessing what's the most suitable way forward? And partly as well also in terms of developing this area, how the Swansea Bay City region is used and has a particular platform or a voice. Okay, so those are some of the main areas we were thinking about.
Great, thank you very much indeed. So group number three over here, onshore renewable electricity. Stuart.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So we're looking at the figures that we're projecting we could achieve by onshore wind and solar. Obviously, there's the bioenergy as well, but we basically focused on those big sections. The problem is the market doesn't function at a regional level, which is one of the comments. However, there is something to look at in terms of the GVA, the jobs potential, particularly for solar, and I think that was recognised. So the point is that it might not make so much sense from a national point of view having lots of solar, but it might make a lot of sense from a local point of view in terms of the benefits. So I thought there's an interesting observation there. And then also looking at building integration solutions, so very much reflecting some of the comments from the first group. If we can actually get some of those, and it's not just PV, it's solar thermal, it's energy efficiency, a whole range of measures. And if we can integrate that into new buildings and where possible retrofit, then that'll have local benefit as well as in terms of trying to achieve these aspirations in terms of onshore renewable energy. The point about grid infrastructure is interesting because, you know, at present we get electricity from the grid, so you know, if the energy is generated by offshore wind farms off the east coast, we'll just need a much stronger grid to bring the electricity over to Wales. And who pays for it? We pay for it, the consumers, through our electricity bills. Do we get any choice about it? No, we don't. We just pay it. So there's a very interesting observation there in terms of the way the model works now and how we might want to make it work differently in the future. With onshore wind, the high target, 800 megawatts, was seen as being challenging. There's obviously planning issues there, very long cycle times for planning. If we look at the way of sort of funding bigger projects now with CFD, because it's an auction and the price gets driven down and down, it could become less and less attractive for investors. So it may not be a good mechanism going forward. So going looking the other end from a community up and community schemes, there's a comment that actually in Wales, you know, we've actually had most success with community schemes. So is there something that we can build on there? And it's kind of a final message is that renewable energy is seen as being low carbon in the population. That would be accepted, but it's also seen as being high cost. Now, and moving forward, actually onshore wind and PV solar, but certainly onshore wind, it comes out as, you know, the cheapest electricity or potentially the cheapest electricity. So we need to start talking about cost, because that is how to get the message across, to get the buy-in, if you like, from the general population that, you know, this is something that's not just good for the climate, but it's also good for your pockets.
Okay, great. Interesting message there. Great. Group number four, please. Steve Screw, Renewable Energy Heat Generation.
Okay, thank you. So some brief feedback points from each of the four themes. The first one, in terms of clear areas for action, we went through a raft of heating technologies that we could use. However, where we got to was potentially the biggest action areas are around greater use in recovering heat from a lot of industrial processes, and then possibly then putting those who can generate the heat with those that need the heat. We also then looked at things like, do we understand what all the technologies are out there, whether that be natural or industry-led? And then do we know what best practices there are from other countries? Mm. So it's about putting a couple of those things together. There are also new things on the horizon, like solar panels that can provide heat and electricity. And actually, very much linked, obviously, to the buildings theme that we covered earlier. In terms of the second area, a list of partners, well, actually, that was quite interesting discussion, because some people felt it was utilities, existing players, whereas others thought, actually, what we need is more disruptors, okay, and different business models. And clearly, we need to cover current and future consumers. And one of the areas that, again, has been picked up by other groups is around putting business cases together and actually having financial specialists to help us. In terms of barriers, there's things around awareness and that ability to put business cases together. And obviously with heat, one of the big challenges is around storage and flexibility. So again, a number of other areas, but probably they were the key themes. Very positively, to finish, in terms of opportunity, there is one of contagion, in that once you start actually seeing something, people tend to pick it up. So things that work, we can actually move on. Clearly, best practice we can build on. We've got a hybrid demonstrator now in South Wales, which is a first in the UK. And actually, a big opportunity for heat, because it's a national issue and one of the big challenges now, we're not just talking about electricity now, we are talking about properly heat and transport. There are a lot of funding and competition opportunities there, and actually we've probably got an opportunity there to maybe put partnerships and collaborations together to put some of those demonstrators here in South Wales.
Great, lovely, lovely segue into the next group. Thanks very much, Steve. Transport at the back, with Ria's group.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. We had a reasonably diverse group in terms of background, but actually came quite quickly to some clear areas of consensus, so I'll try to reflect those when feeding back. In terms of the areas for action, that really fell into two themes, one key theme being infrastructure, the second being technology. We considered different modes of transport and the sort of infrastructure that would be needed to support the shift to decarbonize. So we talked about cycling, for example. There are pretty good cycle paths already, particularly in the Swansea city. So the city of Swansea, that was felt to be a pretty good foundation to build on. There's also a new cycle scheme coming up soon, and that would be a real opportunity to increase cycling. But it was acknowledged that as a region, Swansea Bay City region is actually pretty hilly. So some of those bikes would need to be attached with their motors to help people along. There are just other pretty common sense suggestions as well. So a lot of the roads cut across the centre of Swansea, but most journeys, people are actually trying to travel around the city. So why do we have roads that only take us through the centre? We talked about electric vehicles and particularly the absence of charge points in the region. There was felt to be a particular need to improve the number of fast charge points in West Wales. And then in terms of technology, as well as emerging technologies and things that are already here, the group felt quite strongly that we need to be, as a region, looking towards the technology coming up and the opportunities around the corner. And it was felt that hydrogen across all modes of transport provides a particular opportunity for the region. Some innovative consideration of partnerships, but one of the partnerships that came through most strongly from discussions was a partnership with the public to overcome misconceptions around particularly electric vehicle use, to make people comfortable with technology, but also to make sure that the public are expecting and demanding increased action from government. But in terms of opportunities, a couple that present themselves right now, so there's a current review of planning regulations from the Welsh Government. It was felt that actually there's a real opportunity for decarbonised transport and things that would help that to be built into things like new housing developments and supermarkets. Some suggestions of how local authority business rates could be used to incentivise the use of electric vehicles, and particularly giving concessions on business rates to those organisations who open up their charging points and providing free parking for electric vehicles. In terms of perhaps one of the most pressing opportunities, there are 100 premature deaths every year in Swansea because of poor air quality. That message is you know, compelling, and there's an opportunity to build public buy-in to that. The UK government and the Welsh government are under increased pressure to act on poor air quality, and it was felt that actually now is the time to begin that public conversation that demands the health dividend.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Ria. Okay, group number six, industry. Chris's group at the back on the right, please.
Hi. Industry. Swansea Bay City region has some of the largest industrial CO2 emitters in the UK and industries in terms of steel, cement and oil. There are massive questions and decisions globally being made about the future of those industries and how to decarbonize them, so carbon capture storage, carbon capture utilization, and then the energy networks that are required to supply those mechanisms, so potentially new industries. So with carbon capture utilization, the use of chemistry to convert CO2 into new products, you can imagine a whole new industry being developed around and living off the waste of existing industries. That's probably medium to long term rather than short term, but what you can see is it's likely that the energy consumption of heavy industry is probably going to increase rather than decrease, as carbon capture utilization technologies are needed to cope with the CO2 quantities. Or if we go the other way via hydrogen, the amount of energy needed to create the amount of hydrogen to decarbonize industry again will be massive. So when we come then to the short and medium term in terms of what can we do to decarbonize energy for heavy industry, the frustration, I suppose, may be that heavy industry doesn't tend to adopt renewable energy technologies. It just doesn't stack up financially. We tend to be large energy consumers, large energy purchasers. We get our energy at a discounted rate. Competitively, we still pay more than we do with our against our European competitors. So to pay even more for energy is a difficult decision and one that probably won't be made until policies change and incentives are put in place maybe to drive it and make sure it happens. But again, they need to be global or European policies to make sure we can compete on a global market. Having said that, we've got lots of land and we've got lots of roof space, which surely somebody can use and we can work in partnership. So that one of the recommendations overall is that industry in the Swansea Bay City region maybe needs to start working together and looking together at the opportunities with local and national governments. If we look at what's being done at the moment, we have the Flexis project, which is focused around Neath Port Talbot, focusing at the modelling the energy in terms of electricity, heat, and CO2 for the Neath Port Talbot region, and looking for synergistic opportunities for the region as a whole. Also, we've got Project RICE, Reduced Industrial Carbon Emissions, which has just been funded by WEFO with Swansea and University of South Wales. That will be looking at industrial hydrogen make and use, and also conversion of CO2 to protein and base chemicals. So it's starting to show and demonstrate what's coming out of the universities as exciting sciences to drive a future. So for a clear area of action, I think I can look around everybody and say we think everybody needs to work together in industry in the region and look for opportunities. And maybe a 2035 vision is too close and more of a 2050 vision with the steps decade by decade of what we need to do when. The list of partners are quite straightforward in terms of Tata Steel, Valero, Vale, etc. Barriers are the technical issues, and then in terms of the short to medium term, in terms of the commercials don't stack up. So what alternatives can we come? And we'll look for economists' help with that. And then what opportunities have we got? We've got BEIS, so UK Government Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, and we're closely involved with several partners in the room on bids for money there to help us explore decarbonisation of heat, carbon capture storage, carbon capture utilisation. If you look around the UK, Teesside is a very strong region industrially. It has a lot of backing. It has the Teesside Collective. In the northwest, there's Northwest Cluster, industrial cluster. In Humberside, there's a developing regional cluster. So to us, Swansea Bay City Region needs to do the same. We need to have a recognised industrial South Wales cluster.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Chris. One last one.
Yeah, sorry. In terms of smaller industries then, something needs to be looked at with the way that industrial buildings are leased out to companies and small industries to make sure that solar efficient buildings, etc., is built into it. And also, obviously, power charging points for employees' cars, etc., can be promoted generally. Yeah.
Great, thanks. Lots of practical things there. Dave, last but certainly not least, very popular group on local energy. Your feedback?
Yeah, very popular group and inhabited by the brightest brains within the whole turnout today. We had some interesting discussion, so we took as our starting point the recommendation that there should be an interdisciplinary steering group set up, including public, private and voluntary sectors, which mirrors to a certain extent something that we're doing in Cardiff. We call it Smart Energy Systems Group, and that's quite helpful as a conduit to try and find out what funding is available, and then pull together the right partners, academic, public, and private, to bid for that, because Wales hasn't done very well out of UK-wide competitions in the smart energy space. So I think the Swansea needs to go somewhere down that road. And in fact, on the kind of collaborative stuff, there's a brilliant example, and one which I did highlight to Swansea Council about 3 years ago, of a country that does this very well in terms of signposting and collaboration. And surprise, surprise, it's Denmark. And if you look at their State of Green website, that's their advertising portal where you can have really practical signposting for business development, grant funding, or whatever else if you want to invest in Denmark. And I think that Hull's done some interesting things, as was mentioned earlier, but you need to have something that helps signpost outside investment, inward investment into the region, I think, and there's no shortage of good examples of that. We talked a lot about people wanting to do things for themselves and bottom-up, and that Ofgem is a bit of a barrier to that sometimes, and that their sandbox is only designed for one regulatory change at a time. So if you're talking about doing things completely different, then actually a sandbox is no good. What you want to do is start with the outcome that you want to see achieved and then devise the process that would allow that to happen. So in other words, we need to have a new relationship with Ofgem. And then one of our contributors pointed out that the West Midlands Combined Authority, which is set at just 2 years ago, is already entering negotiations on having devolved energy relationship to be able to do this sort of things in the West Midlands. And somewhat sardonically, it was pointed out that Welsh Government and the devolved administration has been in place for more than 20 years in Wales, and yet we don't have that kind of relationship. So somebody somewhere has not been aware of things that are going on literally next door, which have catapulted like 18 years into the future on our doorstep. So there's opportunities there, and we need to grasp that. And then really the two big opportunities, I think, for the Swansea Bay City region, from the smart energy and the local energy, we flipped the restriction. So at the moment, you can't build any battery storage in the whole of Wales if it's more than 1 megawatt in size. The grid can't handle it. We haven't got enough wires, and the wires we've got are too hot. So the suggestion is, okay, well, why doesn't Swansea Bay City region be the exemplar region for building loads and loads and loads of battery storage sub 1 megawatt, which also kind of pushes you down towards the local level anyway, so you can maybe view that as a selling point, say, right, guys, we've got no chance of doing the commercial scale, so let's just figure out models for us to do it all kind of small scale. And EVs, as some other people have already picked up, is not unrelated to that, because that's something else that the local authority could take action on, or a city region could take action on, and God knows it's needed, because as somebody said earlier, there's only three public charging points in the whole of the Swansea Bay City region or something like that. So batteries and EVs, and then the local energy type stuff like Bethesda is doing. In principle, there's no reason why that couldn't be duplicated, because that's taking place without any kind of Ofgem sandbox. So apparently there's good things happening with that already. So that's another opportunity. So I guess three opportunities.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Dave.